Let me read you something that I ran across a number of years ago and jumped off the page. I heard somebody give this example, and then I found it myself. There's an old fable that says the devil once held a sale and offered all the tools of his trade to anyone who would pay their price. They were spread out on the table. Each was labeled hatred, malice, envy, despair, sickness, pride, sensuality. All the weapons that everyone knows so well. But off to the one side lay a harmless-looking wood-shaped instrument marked discouragement. It was old and worn, looking, but it was priced far above all the rest. When asked the reason why, the devil replied, "Because I can use this one so much more easily than the others. No one knows that it belongs to me. So with it, I can open doors that are tightly bolted against the others. Once I get inside, I can use any tool that suits me best." So my message is on discouragement, cause, and cure. Ephesians 6:16 on the armor for the warrior that is mentioned, the Christian warrior that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. One of the famous verses in that section, "Above all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." So faith is a shield. And faith relates to so many areas. When we lift the shield of faith, something happens. With this saving faith that we have, we know that it also expands out that there's a fight that must be fought, a war that must be waged, a race that must be run, a narrow way that must be trod, a sacrifice that must be offered, a cross that must be borne, and a cost that must be counted. And as warriors of the cross, all of that comprises our assignment and our battle for the days ahead. Discouragement affects us in dramatic ways. There are great saints. Their history, their biography, in the Bible and outside the Bible, who suffered discouragement. And so we're prone. It's not just people that say, "Well, that's just me and others don't have it." We're prone in that particular direction. The first thing I want to say is the cause of discouragement. The cause of discouragement is when you set down the shield of faith. If we are discouraged, it is because we've set down the shield of faith. That verse in Ephesians 6 says, "Above all, taking up the shield of faith." And then it speaks about that shield of faith, saving faith, being put into operation as warfare faith, if you will. That saving faith, that warfare faith, that shield of faith will stop every fiery dart of the evil one. These are flaming missiles. In the ancient world, they would take an arrow and they would dip it into pitch, tar substance, and then light it. And so they would send these arrows into the air, and they would be literally a flaming missile. So they'd not only pierce, but they would also set the person on fire. And that's what the background of what is being talked about here, flaming missiles. It is very obvious from this passage that Christians can be hit with these fiery darts from the evil one or the wicked one. And so he sends forth these flaming missiles. There are Christians who are walking around who've got all sorts of fiery darts stuck in them. And they're not aware of that that's what it is. Or if they are, they might not know what exactly to do about it. The remarkable thing about this verse is the shield of faith will stop every one of those flaming missiles. And if we are pierced with a flaming missile or missiles, this is how it is removed by faith. There's some other things that can be done. also regarding to remove them. But the shield of faith will stop every flaming missile. Oh, sure, we may feel it against the shield. It may jolt us a little bit. But that shield of faith will stop every flaming missile. And one of those flaming missiles is discouragement. And so when we are discouraged, it is because we have set down the shield of faith. The second thing that I want to point out is the cure. Cause and cure. The cure is to pick up the shield of faith. When we pick up the shield of faith, discouragement will be destroyed. Discouragement will fade away once the shield of faith is picked up. The cause is setting it down. The cure is to pick up the shield of faith. That is an action that the believer must take. So, picking up the shield of faith, it will be like a door that will protect us. It will be like a door that will shield us, and it will overcome discouragement. So whenever we're discouraged, in whatever measure, what we have to do is we've got to think in terms of the shield of faith. Set it down, it's because set it down, we'll be discouraged. We are discouraged because we've set it down. When we lift the shield of faith, doesn't matter what the situation is, that shield of faith will keep us from being discouraged. And remember that this is one of the most powerful tools that the evil one uses against us, is discouragement. Sometimes we're thinking about dramatic, so-called sort of dramatic types of sentence and so on. And of course, we have to be alert to all of that. But discouragement will paralyze a people, will paralyze a church. You're living in times, you just heard the announcement from Brother Brian of this choice servant of Christ who will not be coming your way. This could discourage you, right? It could, in that. But if you lift the shield of faith, you'll be able to walk through all of this. Naturally, it's a disappointment. But don't let it move to a discouragement so where it paralyzes you. Take the next step the Lord wants to. If you lift the shield of faith, you'll be able to do that. The cause, setting down the shield of faith. The cure, lift up the shield of faith. It will protect you. It will protect me. Third thing is this. What exactly does it mean to pick up the shield of faith? Two things. First of all, it means that the believer focuses on the character of God. Secondly, it means that the believer focuses on the promises of God. So in other words, in the moments of discouragement, you need to focus. This is what it means to pick that shield of faith. You are picking the shield of faith up on the attributes of God, on the character of God. That's what it means. And then secondly, when you lay hold of the promise or promises, you have picked up the shield of faith, and it will overcome discouragement. Other things as well, obviously, but overcome discouragement. The character of God. What are we talking about? We're talking about that which is true about God. E.W. Tozer said that which is true about God. What do we need to focus on? The God who is sovereign. And we know that. It must be more than theory. He reigns upon the throne. Sovereignty means total control. That's what sovereignty means. The triune God is in total control. He rules over our friends and enemies. He rules over every situation in our existence. The sovereign God is self-sufficient. He has no needs. And so he didn't create because he was lonely, you know, and all that bad theology in that. He was perfectly sufficient. He is sovereign. So that may be an attribute you need to focus on, that he is sovereign. Our God is the living God. Jeremiah 10 and verse 10 doesn't mean that he exists. It means that he's the God who acts in history. He's the God who does things in history. He's the God who is moving. It's not a reference to God's existence, but to the Lord's activity. He is the God who is moving in history. He breaks into history. Your history. the history of the local church. And he is the living God. So we need to remember that. That our God is a God who acts. He's the God of truth. We are surrounded by many lies. A cacophony of lies bombards us. He never lies to us. Titus 1:1, God who cannot lie. He's the God of truth. And we live in times when we need to focus on that. So that may be an attribute that will help us, depending on what our specifically where our battle is, we're discouraged. Truth forever on the scaffold. Wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. Truth crushed to earth will rise again, says the poet, God of truth. And so we need to focus upon that attribute that he is the God of truth. God is just. He's holy and righteous in character. For true and righteous are his judgments, Revelation 19:2. He always does right. You can rest on that. He never does anything wrong. Things you can't figure out, you know that God is just and righteous. And what, because we can't figure it out, that does not affect his righteousness. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Do we feel helpless and hopeless at times? Does a situation seem impossible? Genesis 18:14, the question is asked, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Could he find a pastor for a church that needs a pastor? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. He has unlimited power. It is immeasurable power. You cannot measure it. It is unlimited strength that stands behind every promise that the Lord has made to us. He is gracious. He favors those who deserve nothing. He is merciful. He pities us. He is slow to anger. He is abundant in patience. He is also omnipresent. He's been called the great everywhere. There's nowhere to go where he is not. He is omnipresent. That means that he is observing it all. He is observing our enemies. He's observing our friends. And on down the list you can go. He's omniscient, which means he's the God of knowledge. He never learns or grows in knowledge. Remember that if God had to grow or to figure something out, that would mean that he is imperfect in knowledge. Omniscience, the attribute of omniscience says, that means that he is all-knowing. God never grows or learns in knowledge. He is knowledge and he possesses all knowledge. Our God is such a God, and there's more that could be certainly said about him. Focus on the attribute of God. Say, which attribute should I focus on? The one that will most help you in your battle with discouragement. And so the more that we know about the attributes of God, how God is, our forefathers meditated. Farmers out in the field meditated on the attributes of God four centuries ago in this country. And you need to meditate upon the attributes of God. When we focus upon the character, upon the attributes of God, we lift the shield of faith and discouragement subsides. The promises of God. So to pick up the shield of faith is not only to lay hold of the character of God, the attributes of God, but it's also to lay hold of the promises. Now, it may be one promise, or it may be more than one. Depends on the situation. We've got to find what we need to focus on in the given situation. Which attribute would help us the most? Or attributes. Which promise do we need to apply? We need to be in the Word. This will help us. Or we ask those around us that can help us, make suggestions that could help us. The promises of God. Romans 8:28 is not a religious cliche, is it? It's a burning reality. It's the alchemy of God's working in our life. He causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. He doesn't say everything is good that happens to us. He doesn't say it's good. He says he causes all things to work together for good. And so he's working and he's causing even the bad things, the difficult things and so on to work together for our good. That's a promise you can lay hold of. Why did this happen? Sometimes we have a clear answer. Sometimes we have a partial answer. Sometimes we have no answer whatsoever. We cannot explain it. And so the promise is Romans 8:28. He's got it all working together for our good. Fear, we're not to be fearful. 2 Timothy speaks about God has not given us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. We're not to be bound by fear. That promise, many Christians are fearful. Okay, that overcomes, we overcome fear. Fear is going to lead to discouragement. We can count that those will go hand in hand. What about the promise of his presence? It says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Matthew 28. What about temptation? He says, there's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. That promise also has another attribute of God. He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. He will help us. He will hold our hand, Isaiah 41, 46. We feel weak. Philippians 4, 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it. I just can't do this. Or I just can't make a move here. I can do all things through Christ, not in ourselves, but through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8, 35 and following, he mentions everything that is in the universe that could rip us away potentially from the love of God. And verse 35 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Then he gives this whole list. Angels can't do it. Death itself can't do it. Nothing can do it. Promise of God. Sometimes we get discouraged in the work of the Lord. And because we want to see more taking place. Wonderful, true, but also Zechariah 4:10 says that we are not to despise the day of small things. Small things can be real things. Don't despise the day of small things. God can make them into bigger things. I've sinned. I failed. 1 John 1:9 is always there, isn't it? We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there's no need for us to continue on with discouragement. Our failings do discourage us. And there's a sense in which it's sort of born into it. And we need to know that that's a source of discouragement. But we need to do more than that. We need to do something about it. We're under the gospel. Blood is available continually for the believer. Blood has answered for everything as well. And so we need to see that, see our failures, not simply die at that point, but we need to see our failures as something that will make a difference in our life if we will confess our sins, which means to agree with God concerning our sins. The cause of discouragement, we've set down the shield of faith. The cure for discouragement, pick up the shield of faith. What does it mean to pick up the shield of faith? It means to refocus, got to get to the word on this, to refocus on what God says is true about himself in his word, his attributes, his character. And it also means to lay hold of a promise and do not let it go. And when we do that, the shield of faith will come up and the fiery darts that come our way will be stopped. And fiery darts that maybe are piercing us, they will be taken out and dropped to the ground. And that shield of faith will enable us to overcome discouragement. Let's pray. Father, how gracious and kind and good you are to your people. Oh, you spared not your own son for us. How shall you not freely give us all things? And Father, we are grateful that there is a cure for that which ails us. Be with this blessed little group, this church. And I pray that you would drive discouragement, if there is any, from their souls. May they lift the shield of faith and do the next thing that you've called them to do. May they have a sense of purpose and that you are able. And may, Lord, you hear their cries to bring a God-anointed pastor, preacher, servant to the flock that will be an enrichment to this congregation. work out the details so that that may be brought to pass. And Lord, we thank you that we have a shield, and that it is a shield of faith. And so may we exercise that faith for the glory of Christ, for our benefit, and for the benefit of the kingdom. In the name of the King, amen.